Whoa.
Yes.
I'm just having church over here all by myself. I'm just so excited. I'm playing a little bit of air bass, a little bit of guitar. I mean, just doing all kinds. Oh, look at this music. It's a sign from God. I'm supposed to sing. No. It's funny though, because my opening remarks, I was going to talk about songs, because I'm going to talk about baptism, and as you all know, there's lots of hymns and songs about baptism, lots of them that are out there. When I was growing up in the church that I grew up in, every time there was a baptism, as the candidate was coming out of the water, we sang the song that George has sung a number of times for us. Now I belong to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that was the hymn that would always be sung when someone was coming up out of the water. You know, and I'm not going to sing it to you, but you know, when we had Celebrate Recovery, when we had that ministry going, I remember Rick especially just wade in the water. Oh, man, we would just do the wade in the water. See, I told you I wasn't going to sing. I'm such a liar. On the elders and deacons, now we haven't used it lately, but the elders and deacons spiritual retreat, I used to use the Carrie Underwood song, Must Be Something in the Water. Have you ever heard that song? What a power. You know, people say, oh, you can't listen to some. That's so wrong. That's a country song that speaks powerfully about the life transformation that happens through baptism and the change that happens in our lives when we are baptized. It's a powerful experience, and it's a great witness to God's love and God's grace. A few months ago, We the Kingdom, I don't know if you all have ever heard that group. It's a Christian group, and they have a song, Holy Water on My Skin. And it's a powerful song. I'm not going to sing it, but the bridge of that song, these are the words of the bridge. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. And then that just power, you know, and it's a long song, and the bridge is in the middle, so you got to get, but I don't want to abuse your grace. You know, it's sometimes, you know, you say, well, we're forgiven by grace. Yes, but there's a power that comes when we're baptized that enables us to do things that sometimes we lose. There's lots of good hymns and songs about baptism. There's lots of jokes about it, too. Lots of jokes about baptism. You know, the good news, bad news. All right, the good news is you baptize 7 candidates in the ocean at the sunrise service. The bad news is you lost 2 of them in the rip current. You've probably seen the picture. Have you seen the picture of the baby? All right, because, you know, there's infant baptism, too. It's a picture of a baby with a telephone, okay? And have you seen that one with the caption that is so cute? So it's just, there's a caption, you know, underneath the picture. And the caption reads, so today in church, a man in a dress tried to drown me. I kid you not. And my family just stood there taking pictures. Not everything is a joke. I wrote it down because I haven't had a whole lot of time to prepare the way. Anyways, it's still alive. But back in the 90s, the United House of Prayer for All People. That's a Pentecostal denomination, the United House of Prayer for All People. A Pentecostal denomination baptized 2,000 people. This is in Charlotte, North Carolina, October 11th, 1998. Baptized 2,000 people with a fire hose. I kid you not. They had it hooked up to a fire hydrant. And then they said, and we're going to put it on fine spray or fine mist because we don't want to hurt anybody. You're like, okay. At least they understood that baptism is a dangerous business. Baptism is a dangerous business. the way it moves and can work in our lives, it's a dangerous business. We just witnessed the installation and ordination of our elders and our deacons for the year 2020. But like all of us, their ministry began, just like ours did, when they were baptized. That's when our ministry begins, and it's a dangerous business. It's a dangerous business. You don't know where it's going to lead if we stay faithful to it. That's the important clause, if we stay faithful to our baptism. Baptism is dangerous when you are faithful because it's not like we get to follow a set of blueprints with step-by-step instructions. It's not like when you're baking something and you mix the dry ingredients and then you mix the wet ingredients and then you mix all the ingredients together and you bake for... We don't have that kind of certainty. Sometimes it's a strong pull that we follow, but even then, we're stepping off into the unknown. We may know and feel the presence of God. We may feel the Spirit, but where it is leading is sometimes a little bit hazy. If you've ever read the Gospels, then you know that Jesus' baptism did not take place in a church. That's not what happened. He didn't have a nice baptismal pool. He didn't have heated water. He didn't have a changing room. He got baptized in the wilderness. A dangerous place. That's why it's called the wilderness. And read the gospel. And immediately after his baptism, it led him not to safety. It led him deeper into the wilderness, into even more danger. Not comfort, not safety. I don't know why we say, have you been saved? Because if you've been baptized, you've been led into danger. You've been led into the wilderness. If you've been baptized, baptism does not lead to safety. It leads to uncomfortable places. It leads us to wrestling with our own demons. It leads us to wrestling with our own hungers. It leads us to wrestling with our own pride, with our own wants. Baptism is dangerous because it leads to submission. It means we don't get to be... We have that illusion that we're in control. And baptism says, no, we're not. We surrender. And we're submitting to the fact that, you know, we're not in control. And let's face it, we're not in control. Even you passive-aggressive types, all right? You're not in as much control as you think you are, all right? So you might as well be honest about it. In our scripture today, John the Baptist wanted to be in control. Did you hear that, how that was taking place, all right? All the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the synoptic Gospels, they all say that Jesus came to John to be baptized. They all see about the dove descending, about the voice from heaven. All right, but in Matthew's account, he diverges a little bit. He gives us a little bit of the inside story. He gives us a little bit of the exchange between John and Jesus. Because John is reluctant. John doesn't want to do it. John would have prevented it. He wanted to tell Jesus no. You ever try to tell Jesus no? How'd that work out for you? It worked out the same way for John. All right? It worked out the same. We may be reluctant to do what Jesus asked of us, you know, but just like in the Gospels, when Jesus looked at John and said, John, I need you to do this. So Jesus comes to us and says, I need you to do this. And it's not about whether you feel worthy or not, or whether you feel called or not, or whether you feel gifted or not. Quit looking at the whole of the donut. Trust in the Lord about what He's already provided for you. There are times when we cannot just step aside and let Jesus do it. Jesus could not baptize Himself. Jesus can't sit on His own lap. There are times when Jesus calls us because He needs us. He wants us. Jesus and John did their baptism together. Sometimes what we do is not for Jesus, it's with Jesus. We do it together in a partnership. Do you remember where Jesus was baptized? I love asking biblical questions like that. You're all thinking, oh, where was he? He was baptized in the river Jordan. The river Jordan. Not only was he in the wilderness, he's in the river Jordan. The river Jordan is rich in meaning. Rich in meaning. A sacred geographical marker full of rich motifs. This is the same place, the Jordan River. Not far from Jericho. That's where the Israelites crossed into the Promised Land. That's the place, if you've read your Bible, then you know, that's the place when the priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Remember that? Not Noah's Ark, the Ark of the Covenant, the one Harrison Ford found. Okay? When he's carrying that, when the priest carried the Ark of the Covenant across the Jordan River. Do you remember what happened? The river stopped. And they crossed on dry land. That's the spiritual marker. That's the River Jordan. That's what that's going on. That's the part of that. That's what Elijah crossed. Remember when Elijah went up in the fiery chariot? We all remember how that was. Fiery chariot and all that. On his way, Elisha's following Elijah. Elijah gets to the river. Boom! Stops the water from flowing and crosses on dry ground. They go to the place appointed. The fire chariot comes up, takes up Elijah to the heavens. Now it's just Elisha. He comes down, he sees the river, and what does Elisha do? The same miracle. Stops the river and begins his own mission and ministry. The Jordan River is a boundary that crosses us from what we are to what we can be and what God is calling. Those are the waters that Jesus is baptized in. When you say the Jordan River, and you're talking to people who know their history, they're putting everything together on that. They're familiar that's a powerful place. Those are the waters. We may never see the Jordan River, but we've been baptized in the same kind of water. That's the kind of water we're all baptized in. We cross a boundary. We cross the boundary from being full of sin to being full of grace. That's what baptism is. It's more than just about getting wet. We cross boundaries. We're no longer what we were. We're called into, we change our identity from sinner to forgiven. We cross from comfort and safety and the illusion of thinking that we're in control. And we cross into the wilderness and into danger. We all remember, you've done your Bible studies, you know the story of Moses. You've heard of Moses, right? You know him. Charlton Heston, all right? Big beard, all of that, deep voice. You know that story, all right? And he leads the people where? Out of Egypt. Where else? Out of slavery, all right? He's taking them out. Where's he taking them to? He's taking them to the Promised Land. And on that trip, if you've read the Bible, you know, they escape Pharaoh's army. They cross the Red Sea. They get the Ten Commandments. They get manna from heaven. They get water from rock. They get all of these adventures and that whole entire trip. And all of it takes place in the wilderness, in a dangerous place, led by God. A place filled with dangers and challenges. And do you remember what happens when they first get to the Promised Land? Do you remember that? The account tells you about it in Numbers. All right, they send the 12 spies. Remember that? 12 spies go into the Promised Land. They want to scope it out, you know, make sure they get a good real estate deal. Stacy hasn't been born yet. They need somebody who can help them out. And what happens? 10 of the spies come back and say, oh, no, it's not. That's never going to work. Only Joshua and Caleb. Only two who said, we can do this, but, you know, it's a democracy, 10-2 vote. A lot of bad decisions are made in democracy. And remember what God says? God says, fine. 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 If you're not willing to claim the promise, then you won't get the promise. And they didn't get to go into the promised land then. Another 40 years of camping out. You know, I don't care how much you like s'mores. By now, you're pretty dang tired of the dang things. How many weenies on a stick do you want for dinner? You're just tired of the whole bit. 40 years more. Baptism is dangerous. It leads us into the wilderness. But if we're faithful to it, it will also lead us into the promised land. It leads us to the promises of God. But we have to be willing to claim it. We have to be willing to risk it, to cross the comfort, to cross that boundary from comfort and safety into wilderness and danger. If we're going to be faithful to our baptism, then we need to know that the Spirit is going to lead us to dangerous and uncomfortable places, places of risk. But we don't have to be afraid. I shared with you the story of a man who had decided to change his name. Remember that? He decided to change his name. Actually, he was leaving his first and his last name the same, but he was adding a middle name. Danger. Danger. See, he had always been felt that he was a compliant, middle of the road, play it safe type of guy, you know. And he wanted to do something to stake out a new identity. And it requires apparently requires a lot of legal paperwork to get your name legally changed. And he had to go to court a couple of times, two or three times, and one more time. And then on the day of his final court appearance, he was the last person on the docket. And one of the cases before him involved two people who were suing each other, who got really aggressive in the courtroom and had to be escorted out. Now it was his turn, and everything's going to plan. The judge comes up before the guy comes up before the judge, and as the judge is like Glenn, very just and honest, and grants the man his request. His name has been legally changed. And he's walking out the door. The bailiff stops him and says, "Hey, those two guys that were going at it in the courtroom are going at it out there in the parking lot. It's really dangerous out there." And the guy smiles. "No, and this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity." And he shows the bailiff his paperwork and says, "It's okay. Danger is my middle name." Once we are baptized, we have a new identity. And with it, not only a new life, we have a new mission. We have a new purpose. We may never have been to the River Jordan, but those are the same waters that we're baptized in. Waters that cross boundaries. We go from being full of sin to being full of grace. That's what baptism is. It's about more than just getting wet. Jesus' ministry began with baptism, and so does each of ours. Amen. Amen.